Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Carl Carlson.
And this is Fred Schaeffer. So, Carl, not to be facetious, but what was the plan for this discussion?
Very good. Yeah, I mentioned to Fred before we hit the record button that I would love to talk about a subject that I don't have all the answers to. Not that I have the answers to anything, but just this is one that I've been pondering. And sometimes in a podcast, Fred and I will come up with ideas that we hadn't thought about ahead of time. It's not like we're just spewing out things that we've already learned. Sometimes we're actually learning in the podcast. And so this might be one of those moments. The subject is planning. And people will run for the exits right now because it's not an easy, it's not a popular subject, but it is so important. One of the standards committees I'm on FMEA, is we talk about how important it is to develop an FMEA plan before you start your FMEAs. And that it includes things like who's going to do them, which ones are we going to do so we don't do everything. So you have to select them. What kind of resources do we have, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just not an easy subject for engineers because engineers tend to be doers. They want to roll their sleeves up and fix things and solve things. And sitting back and using I'll call it a project management skill, which is organizing and planning, does not necessarily come naturally. And then same with reliability plan. If we look at our book on the six steps, having a good reliability plan is in those six steps. But you don't start with the plan. You actually have to build it and understand the gap analysis and things that we've talked about. And so the subject that I wanted to talk about is, what is it about planning that is sometimes difficult? And what can we do to make it easier so that people would be able to plan and then accomplish better what they want to accomplish? And I'll just kick off the discussion with the definition. This is my entirety of my planning for this podcast. A plan, there's two definitions. A plan is a detailed proposal for doing something. That's one definition. So you kind of think of the details. And then the other one, a plan is an intention or decision about what you're going to do, which is a very different concept. Because one precedes the details. So I just wanted to start that, kick that off, and see what some of your thoughts are, Fred.
Well, that second definition of the intention is like, that's fine if you just, after lunch, I'm going to go check my mail and go up, check the mailbox, see if, the bills have showed up or something like that. That's perfect. It's a one action thing. You're going to set aside a time in the near future, you're going to go do it. And you're not, you don't need to coordinate with 15 other people to get it done. It's pretty straightforward and easy. If you're a group of people in the neighborhood and you're walking your dog and they say, hey, you want to walk this way? That's an intention and that becomes the plan. And that's perfectly fine. The trouble is that like an FMEA or even an accelerated life test is, wait a second. I need information. I need who's going to do what. I need timeline, deadlines. Who's the audience for this? What's the criteria of the result that we need to achieve? What kind of test equipment we need? What conference room are we going to use? And pretty soon, you got a list of 10, 15 things without even thinking about it very hard that need to occur before you have a result that's useful. And when you dive into the details, you got to write it down. I don't know how good anybody is think it through. And I extend it. And one of the things I didn't want to miss on this discussion is that plan for the results. I'm thinking of testing a product or even an FMEA is what happens if it doesn't work? what happens if the test, you know, we have a power outage and we lose all our samples, or the FMEA scheduled session happens, yet we have an evacuation or some disruption that we can't get to it in time? Do we have a backup plan or schedule or time? The more important the task is that we're doing or the activity we're doing, the more important is to think through, what if I get great results, perfect results? What do we do with those results? How do we capitalize on that information? What happens if we get middling or unclear results? How can we mitigate that or avoid that going forward? So it's not just the details of who, what, where, and when. It's also, what are the results like? Even though they're unknown to us at this point, let's plan on the scenarios that go into it. It's just thinking through it is great for simple things, but thinking through it and working with your team so that we all have a plan, in a common plan in mind of how to actually accomplish what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you're describing there. I want to distill it a little bit and get to the ingredients. Mm-hmm. One of the quotes that I use from the Irish playwright is George Bernard Shaw, is imagination is the beginning of creation. And what I'm getting there is it starts with a vision of some kind, a visual. In July, actually it was in June, my wife and I took one of our grandkids to Japan. Mm-hmm. It's something she's always wanted to do. She's taken Japanese in school, and we've always wanted to do that. So we just took the opportunity. And I was really busy leading up to it, you know, a few months before. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, I was getting uncomfortable because you don't just go to a foreign country and show up. You have to have planning. You have
to have some people do.
Hotel to stay. You have to have some.
You know the result if you don't. You end up at a hostel or in a bus station waiting for an overnight bus so you can get some sleep. So you know better.
Yes, exactly.
You watch your creature conference. I want to know where I'm sleeping tonight.
I was feeling a little bit of discomfort because I hadn't finished the planning or planned it. Mm-hmm. And so I remember that quote, and I was thinking, what's the vision? And so we had this nice little Zoom call with our granddaughter, and you know, what do you want to see? What do you want to? What's your point and desire? And
Japan's a big place.
My wife and I talked about the same thing, and we watched some videos and whatever, and just got the idea of what we want, the vision for that trip, mm-hmm. And that's the one of the two ingredients that I'll mention here. Is that visualization, just seeing it and feeling it and wanting it.
It's sort of like you see we're in June, so probably a little late for the cherry blossoms. Maybe way up north you might get it. But yeah. It's the cherry blossoms fluttering across the path and the colors and the landscaping and stuff like that. It's the trees and the manicures and the smell and everything else. Is that the more you can visualize that, then you go, oh, okay, we need to go here, here, and here if we want to see that image, versus showing up and going, you know, what if they got any cherry blossoms around here? And you have no idea where to go.
Wouldn't that have been nice if we had thought about that?
But that's what you're talking about, is that with your daughter in mind, her granddaughter in mind, is, well, what are we aiming for here? And, mm-hmm. you know, it might be raining that day, and it's a different visual than what you anticipated, yet it's probably still special that you had a common objective, and it might be in museums, it might be a certain temples or different activities or whatever it is. If you, your wife, and your granddaughter have a common idea of it, it's certainly much more likely to happen.
Yeah, I'll call it an essential ingredient, but it's not sufficient. Imagine if we just had these conversations like you're describing, and we go, yep, that's what we want to do. And then we just show up. Well, yep. That's not good because it doesn't have the details.
That's right. We need to take a train to this city.
We know what we want to do, and we just show up.
Yeah.
So another essential ingredient that's coming to mind while we're talking here is the details, and that's the other definition. A plan is a detailed proposal for doing something. Okay, Well, that means we have to know the dates. We have to know the activities. We have to get the hotels booked. We've got to get, by the way, we should have flights to go there. And the basic details, and I'm thinking you need both of those, because I've done a mistake. One of my mistakes is to do one without the other. I'll create a bunch of details, but I don't have the vision sufficiently.
Right. Well, I see that. I'm using accelerated tests as the storyline for me is that you can sit in your office and create a beautiful accelerated test and have the number of samples you need and all the checkpoints and what kind of equipment you need and all this other stuff. And you can lay it all out and spend months putting it together and doing all the calculations and anticipation and this and that. And, you know, check your measurement systems, test the stress systems you have, make sure that you're using the right tools and you have a good model. You do all the research. And your boss says, well, wait a second, I need the result tomorrow. And you just spend a month planning it. It's like planning is not an individual activity. I think that's my main point is, who's the audience? What do they really need? And so if I'm going to set a deadline, it's not for me. It's whoever gets the results of this result. Who needs this information? What's their deadline? What's their criteria for what's a good result or not a good result or useful result? In planning, it's really a group process. Is you got to work with other people for multiple reasons. One of them is to create buy-in on that common vision, yet the details of who's going to do what by when works better when you actually have them engaged with, you know, do you have time Tuesday to take these measurements?
Yeah.
I can put it on the schedule. And if you never care to look at the PERT chart, you won't know.
All my learnings on this are by mistakes. I'm thinking of the times early in my career when I just went off to do an FMEA. I formed a group of people and we just went into a room. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have the failure history with us. We didn't have basically the ingredients that you want in terms of planning.
Well, like the prototype or the mock-up or the drawings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. We didn't have any drawings. We didn't understand what the boundaries were for the system. And so everything I'm describing here, but something just occurred. Miro was mentioning it's kind of fun to look at this and sort of look deeper than what I've already learned. So it occurred to me, I'll ask you, Fred, and we can ask the listeners. I'm thinking of five words that can be part of planning. And these words are either 3, 4, or 5 letters long. Yeah. And they all start with WH. What are the five words?
Was it who, what, why, where? Kind of that the newspaper column.
Yeah,
headline.
It's a good who, what? What was the other? Where?
Where? When?
When?
The how doesn't fit into that, but the. It sounds like a W. I've misspelled it many times.
Who, what, when, where? And there's one other one that I think he even mentioned.
Oh, why? Why?
Yes. Yes. So.
Hey, I know this stuff.
That's right. If I'm going to, or a listener is tasked with developing a plan, remember the 5 W's. You got to know who's going to do it. You have to know what it is you're doing. You have to know when it's needed, where, like, are you going to do it, use it at an in-house lab or, you know, third party? And very importantly, you have to know why you're doing it. Yeah. And those kind of ingredients can actually go into a plan. So the plan is not just do an FMEA. The plan would be include the who, the what, the when, the where, the why. And then you can actually go about an FMEA at that point.
You know, that our colleagues in the maintenance world, they have a whole department in many organizations that's called planning and scheduling, and they're separate. There's one thing to get it on the calendar. It's another thing to prepare to get it on the calendar. And they're doing exactly that. You know, what assets do we need to have available? What equipment do we have available? Do we have the spare parts? Do we need to order them ahead of time? And then it's a bundle that then the scheduling team can say, all right, I need three people, I need this equipment, and so on. That's all available on Tuesday. Let's put it on the schedule for next week and get it done. So there's better teams have that down, and it's still a struggle in many, many organizations to actually do the planning step.
And I, thinking about the why it's difficult, because I know some people that are really good at one or the other of those two main ingredients of the vision and the details. Mm-hmm. And if you're really good at one or the other, you'll have trouble planning because you need both.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm realizing here in the podcasting is I was wondering why this is a difficult sell to people, the particularly engineers, because there's so many companies that I've consulted with. They don't do a very good job of planning. They just go about on projects. And on the other hand, you don't want to overplan. So there's a balance.
You've been in FMEAs where you bring up the first failure mode and three engineers head to the whiteboard to go figure out a solution for it. They just want to do something.
I've done it.
there's stuff like that, and there's
the answer. You know, and you're off and running.
You're off in the weeds real quick. And mm-hmm. same with accelerated testing. Oh, I'm going to need samples. All right, I'm going to go start gathering samples because I can actually do that. Like, wait a second, what am I going to do with these samples when I get them? How am I going to measure them? You know, start thinking on the fly as you go. Where if you spent even a half hour, what is it I need to know, and what's the order here? It makes it, especially when you're dealing with other folks and you got to get other team members involved and other colleagues involved and so on, is having given it some thought and getting the buy-in and feedback from others just makes it more likely you're going to get a decent result at the end of the day. And so planning is difficult as we have this propensity to want to take action, or we got this, we know what we're doing. Well, wait a second. There's a factory shutdown, we can't do anything that day. We're all in training at some other hotel someplace. And like, oh, okay, well, that's not going to work on that week. A little bit of forethought would have prevented all that.
For sure. So let's build on the accelerated life testing. If a listener is tasked to do this, I would suggest the first thing to do, if you're not trained, you need to have some knowledge about it, because you can't. The first thing I would want people to do is visualize what it is that you're doing. What makes for a good accelerated life test?
Yeah.
And then you can start understanding the ingredients. You know, you'll need some type of equipment. You'll need some type of samples. You'll need some.
I mean, the illustration for that is real simple, Carl. If you have a chemical process, well, what is the chemical process? What is the actual corrosion chemistry that's going on? Yeah. If it's a wear process, well, what kind of pressures of it? What kind of surfaces is it? What kind of angle of attack is it? Do we just not know what is the failure mechanism? So that might be the first clue, is that we need to go do some research before we start planning the test. I've heard it too many times. Well, we'll just throw it in a chamber and see what we learn.
Like, yeah.
It has nothing to do with accelerated testing, throwing it in the chamber. That's one step if it applies.
Right. Well, and being able to see things in steps takes some work. You have to have an imagination. You have to be able to visualize things or get on a chalkboard and write them down. In our book, we ended up with six steps and we wrote them down. And then some of them, you and I have different experiences, and some you grab some of them, I grab some of them. And so maybe that's one of the difficulties, is not any one person has expertise in the entire set of things. So you might have to have a planning committee or at least a few people to collaborate with. I've always worked well on teams, but I've always worked well with small teams, not huge teams. Had this discussion with someone in the last week who wanted to have a very large team to work on. And I'm going, well, I don't know. How are you going to get everybody's input? And, you know, da 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 da.
We'll be doing this for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
It's some great stories of folks I worked with that meshed real well, that had great technical skills that brought another dimension into the thought process of what are we trying to achieve. It was like, we need to know if this will fail safely. It was a handheld device. And one of the scenarios was, what if you sit on it or step on it? Will it will give you sharp edges or not? And how in the world are we going to test that? And he came up with like brilliant ways to get after that and where we can measure stresses and measure different parts of it. And I knew somebody by chance in that organization that knew all of the human factors type stuff, the kinesthetics, is how hard can somebody grab something, or what is the pressure of a 80% tall human sitting on something? You know, we had all this information from the two sides of us, and we went, oh, now we got a plan. Let's write that down.
I had a realization here, Fred. The one of my favorite books is the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yeah.
Stephen Covey.
Yeah.
And his first one is begin with the end in mind.
Yep.
And so let me just round that off a little bit on this topic. If you can, the first step of planning in this visualization I have here is being able to visualize it. And that's beginning with the end in mind. In other words, see what it is you want to do. Then you go about and you get the five W's and you know, who, what, when, where, why, and put it in to get in some kind of plan, but always using collaboration with other people because you have blind spots. And so you don't want to just issue a plan without some degree of collaboration to cover your blind spots. So those are some thoughts in summarizing. Do you have any summarizing thoughts on this?
Well, it doesn't stop with, I'm using accelerated testing or FMEA, right? Getting started. That's, you need to plan just at what conference room or what lab you're going to be in, for example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The visualization is the end point. And so think through that also. And what I think as important as who's going to do the work is who's going to receive the work. You know, what's their criteria? It's, that's part of that visualization of the end point is, well, you know, Sarah over there is the one that needs this result. Has anybody talked to Sarah what she actually needs by when? Oh, okay. Let's go do that.
Very good. That, I mean, that obviously is so important to know who your customer is and who's going to get the product.
Yeah. So it's a part of it. It's, and it takes practice, and you can learn the hard way or just take the time to sit back. And as you set out your tasks for the day or the week or the month, or you're putting things together, is, well, what are the details that make this successful? What are the collaboration elements that, who are the people that need to be there and involved with this in one form or another? Who are your stakeholders? Is, even for a small project, you still have people that are interested in what you're doing and why you're doing it. So is it, expand your reach in the planning session stage of anything you're working on.
If you're listening to this podcast, and of course you are, if you're hearing it, you're listening, I would really love if everyone who's listening could just take a minute and send us an email or like Fred will tell you how to reach us online. And what is it you'd like to know? What do you find difficult about planning? What would you like to know more about? What should we, Fred and I, as we podcast, cover to make this subject easier? What would make planning easier for you? Things like that. Just let us know what your thoughts are.
Well, I'm thinking we got to plan for success, Carl. It's, if you've got you got it down, you've got successful planning in your DNA, yeah, give us a shout. We'd love to talk to you and learn from you on that.
We'll do a three-way podcast.
That's right. And, or you got some ideas or techniques or things that have made a difference for you. We'd love to hear about it. And you can do that over at ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. A couple of ways to get in touch with us. You can also find Carl and I and the other hosts of the show via LinkedIn and our about pages on the site. So plenty of ways for you to get in touch with us. So Carl, we have to sit back and plan for the raft of messages coming across shortly after this publishes.
I'm visualizing it right now.
That's right. Full inbox. So we have to set aside some time. We have to get, you know, make sure our social schedules are clear. We got to coordinate. I'll let you know when it publishes.
Very good. Very good. Well, I got to go plan my day.
All right. Thanks, Carl. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.